Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The very first lighthouse in the United States is 300 years old this year. Boston Lighthouse, the beloved beacon in Boston Harbor, was first lit in September 1716, and it's been guiding ships, attracting visitors, and capturing the public's imagination ever since. We have a lot of nostalgia about lighthouses, but actually they were critical to the growth of the American economy. That's according to Eric J. Dolan. He's author of the new book, Brilliant Beacons, A History of the American Lighthouse. Dolan writes of lighthouses, quote, "They quite literally lit the way for the United States." And Eric J. Dolan joins us in studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, why write about lighthouses? Did they capture your imagination as well?
Actually, it's kind of an unusual story. For most of the books that I've written, this is my 12th book, I usually come up with the idea. However, for this book, it was totally reversed. I had just finished a book called When America First Met China, and I was looking around for a book topic when my longtime editor at W.W. Norton sent an email to my agent saying that he just had lunch with the head of sales at the W.W. Norton, and they wanted to know if I was interested in writing a book on lighthouses. I said, I have absolutely no idea, because at that moment, I had only seen two lighthouses closer than about 150 feet before, and I knew almost nothing about them. So I asked for about a month to read up on the topic, and I was absolutely floored. I had no idea that you could weave so many threads of the American experience through a story on lighthouses. It absolutely fascinated me, and it was one of the most enjoyable books I've ever written.
And of course, so many of them are right here
oh,
in
absolutely.
Boston, right?
Yeah, not only the first, there are some many more right around Boston. There are scores in Massachusetts. Maine, just to the north of us, probably has the third largest number of lighthouses, about 70. Michigan has 120. New York State has quite a few. So there are still about 700 lighthouses really? Still standing in the United States. Hmm.
So let's start with Boston Lighthouse, because okay. That's how you start your book. And I think it is really interesting. First lit, September 14th?
Yes.
1716. And it was actually Boston merchants who petitioned the legislature for it to be built. Give us a sense of what was happening at the time and how lighthouses fit into the growing country at the time.
Well, in the early 1700s, people in Boston, in particular merchants, started getting concerned about the number of accidents that were taking place to their ships that were coming into and leaving from the harbor. And they knew a potential remedy, because at that point, there were about 70 lighthouses in the world, including quite a few in England. And since we were part of England at the time, we knew a lot about those lighthouses, because we went back and forth to England. They would use those to navigate into the ports there. So the merchants of Boston started fomenting for change. And finally, they got all the people in the community, as well as the legislators, on board, and then built this first lighthouse, because they wanted to be welcoming to trade, and they also wanted to protect their investments.
So it was crucial, really, for ships to be able to navigate the harbor and not have some sort of tragedy. But also, it became a target during the war, which is fascinating.
Right, yeah. During the American Revolution, just think about it. Lighthouses are out there. They do not distinguish between friend and foe. So once the hostilities began, the people in Massachusetts realized very quickly that these lighthouses, the one on Thatcher Island off of Rockport, the one down in Plymouth, and the one in the mouth of Boston Harbor, could not only guide their ships, but would also help the British ships come in and out of the port and help them maintain their stranglehold on the citizens of Boston. So one of the first things that the local officials did is they said, let's quench the lights. Let's put them out. And they did it a couple of times. They sent out a band of men to burn the lighthouse. The British got quite upset at that. They rebuilt the lighthouse in a little more than a week. Then George Washington, who had just taken over control of the Continental soldiers, he ordered another group of soldiers out to the lighthouse in their whaleboats. They trashed the lighthouse, burned it completely. This time, it took the British a number of months to repair the building. But by November of 1775, that lighthouse, which the British thought was essential to their navigating into and out of the harbor, was lit once again. And then the final indignity came on March 17th of 1776, which people in Boston now know that March 17th is celebrated as Evacuation Day, because that's the day when the British left town. But before they left, they were so annoyed, not only at the Americans for a whole range of things, but also for trying to destroy the lighthouse twice, that right before the Navy sailed off to Halifax, they put a keg of gunpowder at the base of the lighthouse.
Take that.
And blew up the lighthouse.
My God.
So the lighthouse that's there now, the one that you will see if you visit, is not the one from 1716. It was rebuilt in 1783.
Right. You know, I recently was fortunate enough to go out there and visit the Boston Lighthouse, and which we should say is home to the nation's only resident keeper, who's still a keeper, Sally Snowman. And I want you to hear a clip of what she said about why lighthouses are still important today, and I want you to talk about that a little bit. Let's listen.
There's so many pleasure boaters and small boats, fishermen and lobster women and things like that, that still depend upon that visual sighting. So although vessels have electronics, they have a tendency to fail. And they're going to want to go to that chart, that paper chart, and they're going to want to figure out where they are.
And so that's Sally Snowman. She's
yes.
the only resident keeper of Boston Lighthouse. And I'm wondering, Eric, tell us, I mean, do people still rely on these as a navigational beacon on lighthouses?
Absolutely. What Sally said is correct, especially for recreational boaters and fishermen. Some of the very large ships, cargo ships, they're relying on satellite systems and a lot of high-tech equipment that, of course, if it fails, they would love to have the lighthouses there, but they're not as essential to their navigation. But the smaller boaters, the recreational boaters, yes, they still use lighthouses, both out of familiarity and because they know exactly where they are, and they can see them during the day and at night. And I'll tell you that if you try to decommission a lighthouse, most local communities whose identity is so invested in that lighthouse will fight tooth and nail to keep the Coast Guard from dimming the light. Mm. So I think lighthouses will be lit for many years to come.
Explain that now in terms of who owns the lighthouses. It's the Coast Guard now.
The Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, ever since 1939, the Coast Guard has had responsibility for the nation's lighthouses. They first automated them, getting rid of most of the keepers. But they have a very broad mission, limited resources, limited manpower. And if they can decommission lighthouses and it won't affect their central goal of protecting the nation's navigation, they will do so. And but a lot of times it's difficult to decommission them.
Right. And of course, we've heard here in Boston of people privately taking them over, renting them out, you know, doing things like, well, I mean, what do you think of that?
I think it's great. They have a federal act that came about in the year 2000, the National Historic Lighthouse Preservation Act, that basically allows the Coast Guard to decide which lighthouses are no longer central to their mission. And those can be transferred free of charge to nonprofit groups and government agencies. And if nobody steps forward to take over that responsibility, and it's a mighty responsibility, then those lighthouses can be auctioned off to private individuals, as was the case for Graves Lighthouse right beyond the mouth of Boston Harbor, which a few years ago was sold to the Waller family for $934,000.
Hmm. And at this point, not open to the public.
No, but I've interviewed them, Dave and Lynn Waller, and they're doing a wonderful job renovating the lighthouse. And I think they do have some plans to allow some form of public access in the future.
Hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about the technology. As we mentioned, you know, many are automated. The Coast Guard automated a lot of these. But one thing in Boston Lighthouse is that Fresnel lens
right. That
is from technology from France that initially was resisted in this country because it was too expensive. Is that right?
Yes, too expensive. And also the head of the lighthouse establishment, a gentleman named Stephen Pleasanton, for 30 years, he was an accountant who was put in charge of the lighthouse system. Didn't know a lot about
bad
marine
idea,
navigation.
Right?
He was very good at counting dollars and cents, but not so good in taking care of the nation's mariners. And he fought against the adoption of the Fresnel lens in large part because it was a very expensive technology. But in the end, it not only saved lives, it was much cheaper over the long run than the technologies it replaced. And that second order Fresnel lens that's out at Boston Lighthouse is an absolute gem, just gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is. So do most now have that type of lens?
No, most of the, at one time in the 1850s, we went from a country that had the fewest Fresnel lenses by the end of the 1850s to having the most Fresnel lenses. And most lighthouses throughout the late 1800s and well into the 1900s had Fresnel lenses. But a lot of them have been retired and have been replaced by modern optics, which are much less expensive, smaller, but still do just as good of a job projecting a beam of light out to the mariners many miles at sea. So you'll see a lot of Fresnel lenses in museums. There are many lighthouses like Boston Lighthouse that still have them, but an awful lot of them don't any longer.
Just briefly, why do you think people are so taken by lighthouses? And you know, they hooked you too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, part of it is they're just gorgeous. They're in gorgeous areas. There's a romantic sense to them. But I really believe, especially since I'm a writer of history, I think it's all the stories that really draw people in. The stories of the keepers, the wrecks, the evolution of technology. It's just a wonderful, wonderful American tale.
All right. Eric J. Dolan, author of the new book, Brilliant Beacons, A History of the American Lighthouse. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.